This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, and we say hello to our friends on the DraftKings Network. What's up to Samsung TV Plus? You can check us out over there for your viewing pleasure. This is Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino, and Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes, and a former first-round pick. We will get to Tank Williams coming up in 15 minutes, who will be joining us to give us his NFL and college football thoughts on the other side here, but I wish we could air what we had on turned into the break there. A lot of laughs.
First of all, stay locked in this hour because Mike Palm is on a roll.
He's on fire today.
I want to ask Tank Williams.
He's on a roll.
If Oregon coming off the double bye, having played Stanford and then an off week, has an advantage here.
The Stanford game was having watched that game to root for my Bo Nix Heisman ticket, I was like, oh boy, Stanford is tough times for a Troy Taylor on the farm there. I think there was about 17 people in attendance in Palo Alto, but I digress. But let's continue our conversation with college football, though. And we'll start off with Miami and North Carolina. We were talking about the Miami gaffe during the break. How could you not? Still 6 days later, and it's still top of the mind here, what Mario Cristobal did at the end of their game against Georgia Tech last Saturday. But the Hurricanes now turn around, go to Chapel Hill, where they're three-point underdogs against North Carolina. Total is at 57. Are you buying this as sort of the bounce-back spot and buying in on the dog here that everybody has been taking to task throughout the week?
Well, I like to ask Pritch where he thinks these kids' heads are after that. I mean, they're undefeated. They probably would have been ranked like 11th or 12th this week.
Playoff aspirations.
Set up for a playoff run, and instead you have a home loss to a bottom team in your league. Where's your head going to Chapel Hill?
It's in the toilet right now, really. I mean, it's where it should be. Do you have belief in the head coach? Do you have belief that this guy knows what he's doing? That is beyond acceptable. Or you don't even try to comprehend it if you can. So now it's no different than LSU trying to bounce back against Missouri. How slow do they have? And then they got it going. They won the game. I get that, right? But when your season and all you have to do is believe that things can fall your way and perhaps you can play back into a situation. But no, you're devastated, and you're talking about kids and understanding how to handle that and understanding how to let it go. That's the more important point I want to make here. And then you got a good team in Carolina that you got to face on the road too. So I expect Miami to be slow rolling. I expect them to have a lack of confidence. Certainly going into the game, but at some point will they get it going? Perhaps that could be the case, but Carolina could be too good for the Hurricanes right now.
I think Carolina's been very impressive this year.
Right.
They've exceeded my expectations. May's been terrific. They've played on both sides of the ball. I think they're the better team, and this is one of my contest plays with Matt Eumanns, because I think this is a really tough week of prep for Miami. Never mind the fact that Van Dyke was terrible in this game against a bad Georgia Tech defense, threw three interceptions that were totally his fault. They weren't tip balls. They were just bad throws, bad reads. I like Carolina in this spot.
Yeah, Carolina's an interesting team. It's a team that, like, it's almost we've forgotten about the Tar Heels because, like, nobody really mentions them when you bring up ACC. It's all been Florida State. Could Miami make a run? But now here's North Carolina sitting here undefeated. And they got Tez Walker back.
NCAA
finally made him eligible. They did the right thing there. It took a little bit of time, but they finally did the right thing. So the wide receiver, their big wide receiver recruit coming in here from the transfer portal, is active and ready to go with Drake May. Another interesting game, though, in the Pac-12, UCLA at Oregon State. Corvallis, difficult place to play, especially for these Southern California teams. Bruins, 3.5-point dogs coming off the win against Washington State. 54 is our total here. This one kind of feels like I like both of these defenses, actually, in this game here. I'd kind of lean toward the under. What do you guys think?
Well, UCLA surprised me. Their defense made Cam Ward look silly last week.
It was bad.
You know, Washington State did nothing after the first quarter in that game offensively and got lucky with the pick six. I was still in the game, still had a chance to cover. But offensively, they didn't move the ball at all. That defense is really good. Remember, they gave up a pick six at Rice-Eccles and lose the game 14-7. This is a top defense. So, that being said, we'll see how they go against Jonathan Taylor, who can run the ball. He's a really good run game coach. DJ, they've been pretty explosive here. I mean, Washington State handled them. They got ahead by 3 touchdowns. It's a tough spot. It's a good litmus test for UCLA, I think going up there, I think the whole handicap on this game is do you buy in on the UCLA quarterback? If you do, I think you take the 3.5 on the road here.
Yeah, he's a young one, right? Freshman. Yep. Mm-hmm. So why is it so difficult to get to Corvallis or play in Corvallis? Why is there like a tough situation? It's in particular this year, I guess, playing against the Beavers.
I think for these Southern California schools, it's just, I don't know, like there's something about the Oregon State fan base gets up for these games. Mm. USC, even the Pete Carroll teams go to Corvallis and have trouble.
They get beat. The little backs
Jaquizz Rogers
and 200 yards against Pete Carroll.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of USC teams that have seen their national title hopes crash and fall in Corvallis. And I think it's kind of like that, or like the Southern California teams are some of the glamour franchise or glamour teams of the Pac-12 to where like they just get up for those games. The Beavers do. And they've made it a kind of a house of horrors for a lot of those teams.
Right. Because I was curious. I mean, the hook, you know, I don't know if that's something that's going to keep me away. You said something about the total, which could be interesting there in this game. But, yeah, it's something about Oregon State and this Corvallis situation. Even talking with people at CU, you know, when CU was horrible, we're not horrible anymore.
We'll get to them in a minute.
When we were horrible. It was just a tough place to play. I don't know if it's to travel. I don't know what it is about Corvallis.
It's not an impossible place to get to. There's an airport in Eugene if you want to fly over there.
How far of a bus ride is it from the airport?
From Eugene to Corvallis, you're looking at probably about 40-ish minutes.
It's not as bad as Happy Valley.
Yeah, it's not terrible. No. I mean, even from Portland to Corvallis, it's probably like a little over an hour or so. So it's not that terrible of a place to get to. But it's just something weird happens in Corvallis, man.
Bodacious had a tough game there last year.
He might have a tough game tomorrow. Let's hope not. I'm so conflicted with that game. I'm a Husky fan. I want to see the program do well, but then also Bo Nix 30-1. That's also calling my name as well. So we'll see what happens with that. I know, Mike, you really were wanting to talk about Iowa State and Cincinnati. The Bearcats are 5-point favorites, total 43. Yeah. What stands out to you with this?
I like the total here. I got it at 44.5. It's coming down. Going to have weather in the Midwest this weekend. It's the Iowa State team. Look, the TCU offense is not bad. The defense is way down. The TCU offense decent. They held them down. They had 7 points till midway in the fourth quarter. As a 6-point dog winning 27-13, I think I've been on the right side of this Iowa State team 4 times. And I think this is going to be a defensive, grinding game. Remember, Cincinnati held Oklahoma to 20, which is flattered off their performance against Texas. I think this game's probably in the teens or a 21-17 type of game. And you see the totals move 2 points in a day. So if it gets under 42, I wouldn't recommend playing it. But I think this is a one possession game, and it's in the 30s for sure.
Yeah, that feels a bit like Iowa State kind of football. Yeah. It's just like
that's how they have to play.
Yeah, that's
how
they have to.
They take the play clock down. They know the defense is the strength of their team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's no fool. I criticize him for all his antics off the field and stuff. But he's no fool on game management, Campbell.
Yeah, he knows how to stay close in a lot of these games. Let's get to tonight's game, though. Pritch's Buffs. We've been waiting to talk about this one. Stanford at Colorado. Colorado, by the way, gone over their season win total of the 3.5. Yep. The overs cashed those tickets. Congratulations to everyone. I know, Pritch, you know you had a ticket on that one there. A lot of people had the under on that one, so sorry
really?
For you.
Really? A lot?
I mean, there was. I feel like every person all summer on the network was like under 3.5.
Wow.
And then now we're at 4 wins, and it's October 13th. But the Buffs are 12.5-point favorites, total 59.5. How do you sort of see this one playing out?
Got to get off to a fast start. And I know Coach Prime and his staff have been working on CU trying to get off to that fast start. Establishing a run is something that they've been working on. Offensive line issues and depth, really. But this focus is trying to get off to a fast start. Coach Prime doesn't like the starting time of this game.
8 o'clock local time.
Does not like that. But, you know, something about these kids and something about, you know, look, you're going to be on TV, the spotlight's on you, it always has been. They have to get off to a fast start because the second half for the Buffs have been, it's been spectacular, really. It's been really good. But it's all the focus is this week has been trying to get off to that fast start, that quick start. And this is a great opponent to do that against. I think Stanford's reeling. Stanford, I don't know what direction from a sporting standpoint this institution is going to go in. I mean, from an Olympic sport standpoint, Stanford.
Elite.
Yeah. Now, from a football program that kind of just drives revenue, not elite, right? And so that's what's happening with Stanford. And I think the
basketball's been down, too.
Right,
way down.
Right, way down. And so I think this is a chance for the Buffs to kind of take advantage of all that. I wouldn't lay it, though.
All that said, we're not laying
it. I wouldn't lay it 12 and a half.
As I talked about the scheduling spot for Notre Dame, Colorado has had no breath either. And they've been the focus of every game this year.
Got a bye week after this one, though.
Yeah, but I think this week, and Stanford coming off the bye keeps me away from this game. Because I think the spot is good for Stanford. What do you think of your quarterback
Shador?
Going to the student in front of the student section of the bottom team in the Pac-12
show
to
watch?
Show his $70,000. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Rich? I like it. I actually like it. I mean,
show your watch, Mike.
If you don't, Mike,
you got to show your watch.
If you don't want to see it, then beat him. Right? I mean. See, this
blind devotion.
It's not blind devotion. Put your watch up. Is this something I would do? No, it's not. But it's something that he does and he's comfortable doing. And it's who he is. And so Coach Prime is not going to take that away, right? Because he knows what fuels Shador. He knows what fuels a lot of these players. And he's not going to try to take that away. The only way you don't see that is if you beat him. Real quick, now, and I don't know if this was something that, when you do something like that, right, when you brag about winning or if you go over the top with it, it could come back to hurt you, right? But it also can fuel you. Like, my rookie year when we played in Atlanta, we beat every team in California. We were the California state champs. So when we beat San Francisco at Candlestick, Glanville had a trophy as tall as you. And we ran around the stadium with that trophy. California state champs on it.
Well, that's more funny. There's a bit of humor to that. There's no humor to the watch that those kids can't afford.
It depends on what the kids in the student section are saying, though.
This is what I'm saying.
we'll see what kind of watch Tate Williams has next.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on a Football Friday. We've been talking a lot of college football, and we'll continue that discussion as well as some NFL analysis with our next guest here, Tank Williams, former player in the National Football League, now an NFL college football and fantasy analyst. Tank, we appreciate you joining us here on the Lombardi Line as always. And we'll start off with college football here. We want to talk about the game in Seattle. In your opinion, who has the edge between Oregon and Washington?
It's really tough to say because, I mean, Washington, let's just start off with the college football environment, that stadium, Husky Stadium. It's one of the tougher places to play in college football. And I know once this game is played and people get to see it on a national scale, they'll say, oh, my goodness, look at these two Big Ten teams playing. But nah, it was something even back in the Pac-12 days. Like, don't get it twisted. But, I mean, these are two high-powered offenses. I mean, both of these quarterbacks are up for the Heisman, and rightfully so. I mean, I think there's going to be a little bit of rain in the forecast. And I hope that the conditions aren't that bad, even though both of these teams are accustomed to playing in drizzly, rainy weather. I just want it to be pristine environment so we can just see the best of both of these teams. And I think that for me personally, when I look at Oregon and I look at Landon coming from the SEC, what he's been able to do with that defense and also the high-powered offense that they have, I would probably give a slight lean to them, but I wouldn't pick them. I mean, honestly, I feel that if you're going to do anything, just go with the over, and that's the safer bet at 67.5.
Yeah, we were talking about the under, to be honest with you, earlier, Tank, because of, you know, you think about, like you mentioned, Oregon, they're built like an SEC team, in my opinion. But then, you know, you wonder about the rivalry situation and having played in these rivalry games and that emotion. I wonder how long it's going to take both teams to kind of settle down in this matchup.
I mean, I think that we saw a little bit of a lag from Oregon when they played against my Stanford Cardinal the other week where they started off a little bit slow. I think they were probably looking ahead to this game. They started off a little bit slow in that game. But if you look at the big high-octane matchup they had with Colorado, they came out like kicking on all cylinders from jump. And I think that this is a game that both of these teams had circled from jump street and that both of them would come out with a solid game plan. And it's going to be really tough to slow down both of these offenses, even though you have like some really great defensive minds on both sides of the ball, and especially on the Oregon's.
Tank, I want to talk about a matchup in the ACC between Miami and North Carolina. And we talked with Pritch about this a little earlier, but you're a little not as far removed from the game as he is. Where
he's trying to say I'm old, Tank.
Well, you're distinguished, Pritch. Where are these kids' heads at for Miami after their coach can't add and runs the football and fumble? I mean, their undefeated season, the ACC title, home loss to Georgia. I mean, what kind of a week of preparation are they having heading into playing a very good North Carolina team?
We always talk about how tough it is to win games, whether it's in the NFL or in college football. So the last thing you want to do is beat yourself. And when you have your head coach who's supposed to be on, I mean, that's your job. Like, our job is to go out there, make tackles, catch balls, score touchdowns. Dude, your job is to manage the game, and you can't even do that right in the most crucial opportunities, moments in the games. Like, that's just inexcusable. So now, like, you see the coaches, like, the players on the sideline just in tears saying, like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And so if you're questioning your coach at that pivotal moment, or you better believe that they're going to be questioning some other things now. And now you have a matchup against North Carolina, who's undefeated. You have to go play against them. And they've been throwing up, they're in the 40-40 club. They've thrown up 40 points the past couple of weeks. And I don't think that's going to slow down here against Miami. So, yeah, they're going to be motivated to try to say, like, hey, we should be still undefeated too. But I think they're going to just run into a bus all in North Carolina this week. So I'd probably take the money line on North Carolina and the over too. I expect them to score a lot of points.
All right, money line over at DraftKings, minus 166 for the Tar Heels to beat the Miami Hurricanes. We're hanging out with Tank Williams here, former NFL DB, now an NFL college football fantasy and betting analyst, chatting with us on the Lombardi line. Well, where are you at with USC Notre Dame? The betting market seems like it's interested in the Fighting Irish to bounce back after their loss to Louisville. Do you think that they can hand the Trojans their first loss of the season?
Listen, like, I'm not going to even try to hide it. Like, I'm a Notre Dame hater. I hated Notre Dame when we played them in college every year. And that's maintained all the way through these years, and I'm damn near like 45 right now, and I still hate them just as much as I did when I was 25. And so I just don't understand how Notre Dame is favored in this game. Now, I understand the limitations of SC's defense. That's been well documented. But, I mean, I've heard people talk about Hartman being the next coming of Joe Montana and all these things, and I just get tired of Notre Dame just being pumped up every single year, only to let everyone down, except me who hates Notre Dame, to see them lose these crucial games. They did against Louisville. I picked that upset last week where they were going to go into an environment. They had College Game there at Duke, so they were able to get up for that one, and they squeaked out a victory there. And then they went to Louisville and happened what should have happened. Louisville beat them. And I think in this instance, too, people are feeling that, oh, yeah, they're going against that poor SC defense and they're playing at home. That's not going to matter. My cousin Caleb Williams is going to go up in there and find a way to get the dub, even if that defense does give up 35, 40 points.
Tank, let's revisit the border war then. And I want to throw this theory at you. Do you give any advantage to Oregon in that they've had 2 weeks off, where Washington's only had one? I mean, they had very little prep to go to the farm and play Stanford. Wow. You asked for it.
Well, take Mike Palm is a Notre Dame. He knows Notre Dame.
I'm a Notre Dame grad, Tank.
Yeah.
The good thing is this. Even when I rock my Stanford shirt, I can say I'm rocking it for the football team when we're doing well. And if the football team's down, I can rock it for the academics. So no matter what, I keep my head held up high.
It's not too shabby at South Bend either, the academic. Just playing around, though.
Two esteemed academic institutions. Well, how about your Stanford Cardinals against Pritch's Colorado Buffaloes tonight?
I was going to ask you about that, Tank.
Hold on, what was that? I think my earbud went out. I'm a believer of what Coach Prime is doing. Like, I love the swag that he comes to in his interviews. More important than anything else, I love that he gets down into the X's and O's and makes sure that his guys are coached up. And if they're not coached up, they're not going to play the game. I love the support that he shows them. He wants them to play with their chest out, with their heads held high. He wants them to play with confidence. And what they've been doing on the field, given where Colorado was last year, is something that's commendable. And not only that, ask ABC, ask Fox, ask CBS. What Coach Prime has done for these networks has been just like a gold mine. They didn't anticipate this coming in. That's why he's been on nationally televised games ever since he slapped TCU over the head in week one. And so what's that going to be able to do? Like, we have a new coach coming in this year. We're revamping. We're restarting. We can't take advantage of the portal like all these other teams out there. So it's hard out here for a Stanford tree. Up an easy victory on ESPN. But that being said, my Stanford Cardinal, we're going to go out there and fight and try to put forward a good game. But I think Coach Prime and those boys are going to have a little bit too much for us tonight.
There you go. Well, for what it's worth, both Pritch and Mike Palm would not lay the 12.5 with Colorado tonight. So maybe Stanford a little bit more competitive than the betting market thinks. Let's switch over to the NFL, though. We've been talking about everyone's team. Let's talk about my team in the NFL. That's the Dallas Cowboys, coming off an absolute thrashing last Sunday night against the San Francisco 49ers. Now they're 2.5-point favorites in L.A. to take on the Chargers Monday night, total 51. How do you see this one playing out?
Now, this one is interesting to me. I mean, I think you've heard it all along TV this past week, and I think it's true. Like, that Dallas offense looks stale. I know Dak catches a lot of heat and things like that, but I think that some of the most brilliant NFL minds, especially on the offensive side of the ball today, find creative ways to get their best weapon the ball on several occasions throughout the game. Whether you look at the team that they're playing, Keenan Allen getting 20-something targets a couple of weeks ago and getting 18 catches. You look at Jamar Chase going off against the Arizona Cardinals. Like, you need to be able to do that for Tony Pollard. You need to be able to do that for C.D. Lamb. And then what was more disappointing than anything else, when you understand that the offense may have some limitations against the San Francisco 49ers last week, that defense didn't show any dogs. You got dogs on that defense with Michael Parsons, with Tank Lawrence, some of these other guys, but they didn't show any dog in that fight. And so that has to come from the top down. So until Dallas starts playing with a little bit of swag, until they get in that darn on playbook and start, dialing up some creative plays, at least on the offensive side of the ball, so they can be competitive, it's going to be hard for those Dallas Cowboys. But that being said, if you want to look at a prop that I like, the Chargers have always been pretty bad against the run. And I think Tony Pollard, I was looking at the number, I think it's like in the 50-60 rushing yard total. I kind of like that. And if you just pair it in the SGP or something like that, I think that that'll be something where you can get a little bit of plus money, some juice on your hand. But as far as like winning the game, I kind of like those Chargers.
Tank, we got about a minute. What were your thoughts on Seattle and Cincinnati? I mean, Cincinnati had that get right situation against Arizona. I don't know if they got right, but they certainly involved Jamar Chase. And you know, from a prop market standpoint, obviously he's somebody I would look to. What are your thoughts on this matchup against the Seahawks?
Yeah, T. Higgins is trying to play in this game. I'm not sure how effective he'll be if he is going to play. You have to look to Jamar Chase. The one thing that I would say is that Seattle defense has been playing a little bit more competitive ball than what we saw last year. I really like what I saw out of Devin Witherspoon last week on Monday Night Football, but that was against the Giants, so I'm interested to see how he does against better competition. If you look at the opposite side of the ball, that Cincinnati defense has been giving up some big chunk plays. I think they're missing their two superstar safeties that left in free agency this year. So if you want to look at the flip side, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, getting deep and, hey, either longest reception in the game or number of receptions or reception yardage, things like that, I think that would be something I'd be interested in, looking at a potential shootout between the Bengals and the Seahawks.
Seahawks coming off of the bye. Geno Smith sounds like he is A-OK with the knee that he banged up against the New York Giants a couple weeks ago. He is Tank Williams, NFL betting analyst, also college football and fantasy. Mike, you want to say something?
He's still mad about Ty Willingham. He won't forgive Notre Dame for taking Ty Willingham.
Hey, actually, Coach Dell went to Notre Dame when I got drafted to the league, so I was all good. He did the right thing.
Tank, be well. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be back to talk some more contest stuff on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Thank you to Tank Williams, former NFL defensive back, also now an NFL betting analyst, also analyzes college football, fantasy sports, and all sorts of things. He joined us in the last segment, fun segment. If you missed it, make sure you check it out in podcast form over on the Lombardi Line. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. But let's talk a little bit of contests here, shall we? I know Pritch, he is one among us who is still involved in Survivor. I mean, yeah. You've made it all the way. We're sitting here now at week 6. A lot of people have been eliminated. Where are you at right now? And I guess, what are you sort of mulling over before you make your selections 24 hours from now?
Well, I got a partner. And, you know, so the journey has been interesting because, you know, week 1, it was Washington, right? The time to play, I think, that team. But now it's starting to get a little bit more difficult in terms of who do you try to save, certainly for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then Who do you go with, right? And, you know, you want to go with home favorites, strong home favorites. I mean, everybody's kind of trying to do that. But with one entry, you know, it's starting to get more and more difficult. So, you know, the Rams are one of those teams where you're probably going to use them, in a certain spot. This one scares me because it's a division kind of spot. We saw last night what can happen with familiarity and tendencies, because I think that's what's coming into play now in the National Football League. And so that makes it difficult. You know, you want to save Dallas. You want to save Detroit, certainly, if you can. So it's going to be a difficult decision coming up this weekend.
So you used Miami. So yep. That's not a consideration for you. Last and week. Detroit, you're saving for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I thought this is a game I looked at. If you weren't going to use any of the big favorites, would you consider using Atlanta at home against Washington this week?
I haven't talked about that one. Have not talked about that one. I think Atlanta offensively makes us nervous, or should. Yeah. And you know, what's going on, too? You know, the home favorite kind of thing is tricky to me, because I'm not seeing stellar football. I'm not seeing quarterbacks kind of separate themselves, right? I mean, we want to rely on some of that information if we can. And then, you know, with the Commanders, any type of good defensive effort, they're going to win some games. I believe so. You know, especially on the other side if Atlanta's not prolific or not scoring a lot of points.
You know, it's interesting because we were having this conversation during the break in the first hour about, like, how there's so many bad football teams this year. To where, like I think, like let's hopefully knock on wood that you're able to survive this week. When you play it forward, like, do you kind of just play this out conventionally? Because you could just sort of each week, it feels like you can pick on one of these bad teams and be able to kind of get through that way. Because I think, like for myself, like, I usually like to roll the dice. That's why I was out in week two.
I'm
a cutesy kind of survivor's player. But, like, is this a more conventional survivor year to where, like, we might at the end of the year have 20, 25 people that ultimately make it all the way through?
I said there'll be 75.
75. Wow.
Yeah.
I think there's a path through here that if somebody doesn't, that isn't a touchdown home favorite, doesn't get upset for that, we're going to take 1,200 into Thanksgiving. And the people have two options on Thanksgiving, Dallas, or I think Detroit might actually be the better option on Thanksgiving, the way that they played in Lambeau earlier.
Right.
Michael Lombardi, who gives his name to this show, and appears here 6 of the 7 days, except when the entertainment panel comes on Friday, talks about in handicapping coordinator matchups. Or don't you like Arthur Smith versus Del Rio this week? Or is it negated by Ritter?
See, well,
Ritter's the great equalizer.
My hatred towards Del Rio is strong.
It is. I know. I'm trying to play. I'm putting on all your biases tonight. See, this morning.
And one thing I've learned from betting is I got to eliminate bias, you know, if I can. you know, I don't think Arthur Smith has figured out how to operate consistently with this group of talent. I think the quarterback, he wants it to be Tannehill so bad, but he can't. You know, I think he'd be better off with Heinicke because you know what you're going to get with that guy. He's a gunslinger. Do you have to rein him in or reel him in a little bit? Perhaps, but at least you know he'll try to thread a needle for you. Whereas Ritter is timid, and I don't know how you call plays with a timid quarterback.
I think they can run the ball on Washington, because, I mean, the Bears, even the Bears ran the ball effectively on Washington, right? So I give Atlanta credit for coming back and winning that game. Mm-hmm. I thought Houston would win that game, but they hung in there. And, you know, when they got the ball last, they took care of it. He was able to drive them down and kick the field goal. So I would look at it. I agree, though. And, McVay's track record against Arizona is unbelievable. A lot of that's Kingsbury.
Yeah.
But his track record against Arizona, they've just so dominated this rivalry.
Yeah, you know, Stafford has a hip pointer or something like that. And, you know, he's along with the bruised spinal cord and all that. Like, we're down to, Brett Rippon, if that's the case, too. Now, you love Cooper Kupp. You certainly love Nacua. And you love offensively what maybe perhaps they can do against Arizona. But if Stafford goes down, then, you know, I don't know about surviving after that.
Yeah, kind of SOL. But, yeah. I mean, you can make that case about any team, though, that you pick that if the quarterback goes down, maybe some situations obviously better than others. But
right.
In a lot of the situations, QB1 goes down, it's hold on to your butt kind of time. but I mentioned I was knocked out of Survivor. Pritch is still involved, so we're rooting for Pritch to go ahead and fulfill the $9 million dream here. I'm still in the circa million. You're laughing.
But it's all relative.
It's all relative.
It's all relative, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the dream.
But he's doing it for the competition.
Competition.
The money is kind of irrelevant.
Sign-up bonus is kind of added up to...
right?
Yeah, my sign-up bonus is...
It's all relative.
Yeah.
I would like the relative money. Yeah. I would like that as well.
When you had a few sign-up bonuses, though.
Yeah, I haven't had those. The Circa Million, though, is what I do have right now. And I was looking at the standings earlier, and it's Circa Million has gotten off to a rough start for me. Thank God I haven't been betting a lot of these plays. Otherwise, I might not be here right now. But I actually think I'm going to go for the booby prize. Mm. I think I'm going to make the turn.
How did you do last week?
So last week we went 1-4.
Oh, so you go for the second quarter booby prize.
So I'm going to go for the second quarter booby prize, but I'm also kind of live.
You drag yourself for the whole season.
I'm kind of live. I am within shouting distance of the full season booby prize. It has been that bad.
How many games back are you of last place in the conference?
Three.
Wow.
You're in range.
Yeah, you can do it.
So it's like I'm looking at it right now to where I'm like, okay, like do we kind of make the turn? I feel like I have to make the turn.
So when you make the turn, will you pick against your five selections, or will you just keep taking the selections? Because you're doing it right for the movie prize already.
I know, so far, I've been doing it right.
Right.
Which is like my dreaded sort of situation. I was like, all right, well, now that these are picks I don't think are going to win and watch me go 5-0, that would not be ideal. But I think we've made the turn mentally now, because I was doing some of the itinerary on this yesterday, and I was like, gosh, I'm really... I'm three back right now. I only have 8 points. 5 points right now is where the leader in the booby prize, I believe, is Tax the Rich, I believe, is the booby prize leader right now. What a name.
So, but, I know, right?
One bad mother split the first, and is leading. He went 4-1. He's on top through 5 weeks.
So we'll see. So we're going to go for the second quarter booby prize. Hopefully we can go ahead and cash that out. But we're going full booby now. So I'm going to figure out the plays. I actually contemplated laying 10.5 with Kansas City last night. I'm glad I didn't do it, because they ended up covering that number. But I contemplated laying the 10. Because I thought Denver could actually hang close with the
Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it, right? Yeah. I mean, it's probably hard to say. I mean, hard to do. Easy to say, hard to do.
Yeah.
Because now you're thinking about...
Now I'm thinking about trying to lose. And it's like, do I just organically go about how I've been doing it, which has been terrible in the contest. But I think Cleveland +7 will be on the booby prize list. Or do you think that's a bad selection? Do you think a lot of booby prize contestants will be going Cleveland +7? 7.5 is
consensus booby, maybe. It might be a consensus.
Probably consensus booby prize.
Consensus booby.
Consensus booby.
Put the IE on that.
Consensus booby. Right now, the lines are as follows. I mean, like, we have 4 for the Ravens, Titans, 2.5 is Commanders. I think I'm going to have Bears +3 in the booby prize. I don't believe in Chicago. Ooh. I don't believe in Chicago in this spot. I think it's Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
But you could go through Cousins' career. At Minnesota.
It's a house of horrors.
It's ridiculous. All the times they go there with the better team, and it just all breaks down at Soldier Field for him.
Right.
He's really struggled there. That's the game where Thielen came out and said, and then Cousins said, I went back and looked at the tape. He was right. Yeah. He was open, and I wasn't throwing the ball. I remember that game well. I was on Minnesota.
Because, Fim, I remember what you said about Jacksonville, like not a believer of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And that's a tough spot, having been overseas for a few weeks.
You got to
come home, and if there's one team that could get hot or has been hot, you know, you're looking at that team. I mean, Randy Miller was on the program last week and talked about Houston and one of those teams that certainly could be one of those outlier teams this year.
How about the Four Femmes project, the Patriots? This team can't score, Rich.
Yeah, they can't.
They cannot score.
Right. And the Raiders defense.
And the Raiders just beat a non-explosive team.
Can you lay three, though, with McDaniels?
How about that decision?
He is itching
just
to kick
McCoy
a field.
Just be more right.
I would never lay it with him.
Okay.
I would
never. It's too bad.
Also, how do the Giants hang within the number with Tyrod? We'll see. We'll get to all the other NFL games on the other side. To wrap up the show, this is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network on a Football Friday. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. We've been hanging out with you guys for a couple of hours now. After us here on the DraftKings Network will be Pablo Torre. And then coming up here at VSiN, sports betting analysis and talk will continue with Sharp Money. So make sure you stick around for that with Patrick Maher, Patrick Maher, Amal Shah, and Dustin Swettleson. I always got used to saying Michael Lombardi after Patrick's name, but that's gone are those days. But let's you're shaking your head. It's an honest mistake. Lions and the Buccaneers, though, is a game that I am really interested in. Mm-hmm. Buccaneers, we'll see if this is a mistake. They're wearing the old creamsicle jerseys. Mm-hmm. The creamsicle unis of the of yesteryears will be breaking out of the closet here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they have been getting bet heavily. Not because of that, maybe because of some other reasons, but Tampa Bay right now is a 3-point home underdog. This was 3.5 earlier in the week. Now down to the flat 3. Total sitting at 42.5. Bucks coming off the bye, and the Lions coming off a big win against Carolina last Sunday.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit of a measuring stick game for Detroit. Can they go on the road to Tampa? Now they're making a feature game this week. In the late window. And lay a field goal on the road against what's a decent team. I think that Tampa's
scrappy.
Bulls has done a good job managing, keeping them in games. We saw Philadelphia sort of wear him out on that Monday night, but Baker's played well. And, the Lions will have to play well here. They're not going to, I think they'll be able to run the football. I think if Goff doesn't turn the ball over, they should win this game. But, a lot of things could go wrong in this spot for them. So, and you see the 3 came down from 3.5. I thought at 3.5 you sort of had to take a shot with Tampa Bay. I think at 3 it's a pass for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's your viewpoint on the Lions. I mean, have they arrived? Or are they still working out, working through some things? I think it's the latter. They're still working through some things. But yet it's a team that is confident, though. Last year, if you go on the road and you lose to Carolina like they did, they don't miss the playoffs, that's going to stick with you. That's going to eat you up. And I know it's eating up Dan Campbell. I know he's reminding his squad of that situation, right? We got to be better than that. Goff is playing better than he's played in a number of years, if ever, really. Really, think about it from a quarterback standpoint. And then Baker, he's true to form with this team in Tampa. They're scrappy, right? You give them opportunities, they're going to take advantage of it. So if you're Detroit, you can't turn the ball over. You have to execute. I think if they do that, I'm comfortable with laying it. Certainly, you want to get the best number if you can, right? If you want to lay 3. But I think, for Tampa, there could be some teaser opportunities there because of the scrappy nature, because of Bowles and what he can do with that defense as well.
Yeah, everyone's kind of billing this as a litmus test here for the Detroit Lions. Like, how do you handle success? Can you go on the road? I also think it's a litmus test for Tampa Bay. Like, are the Bucs for real? Or are they just kind of a team that can beat bad teams and be maybe an 8-9, 9-8 team? But if they win this game, think about that kind of a statement that they'd make as not necessarily contending with the likes of San Francisco and Philadelphia, but maybe you talk about this being kind of a core four in the NFC with Tampa Bay right alongside Detroit. Like, I think this is a big opportunity for the Buccaneers here. If I had to play it, I think I'd just take the 3 just with Tampa coming off of the bye, getting healthy. That defense is finally going to be healthy. I believe we're going to be able to see their first-round pick, Kalijah Kancey, make his debut in the NFL. He's been dealing with like a calf injury all the way back to training camp, so it sounds like he'll be ready to go for this game as well. Mike Evans, he was a full go at practice today dealing with the hamstring injury. So if I had to play it, I'm not going to, but if I had to, I would take the 3 here with Tampa Bay as the home dog. How about a game we haven't talked about, though, in the Meadowlands? Eagles at the Jets. This one has been getting bet while we've been doing the show. It was Philadelphia 7 this morning. Now it's down to 6.5. And even some places, like here at Circa where we're sitting, it's down to 6. Total 41. Doesn't look like the Eagles will have Darius Slay, their star corner, or their star rookie defensive tackle, Jalen Carter.
Yeah, obviously the Jets have looked better in their loss to Kansas City on Sunday night and then going and winning at Denver last Sunday. So this the move doesn't surprise me. I think seven is a little stiff on the road for Philadelphia, having come cross country, played at SoFi last week. This team continues to have a lot of tough scheduling, you know, back and forth, short week, a veteran team. Obviously, they're the more complete team here. They've got the far superior quarterback. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to cover seven. I thought the Eagles would be in a lot of teasers this week as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how I would play it if I'm looking for a partner. I mean, I would certainly look at the Eagles. The Jets defense, they're competitive, right? You know, Zach Wilson, if you take the ball out of his hands, and I think Hackett kind of discovered that against Denver. When you can run the ball like that, Breece Lightning now. I mean, we're hearing that.
Yeah.
But he's a hell of a player, though, right? And my preference, if I was a coordinator, would be like, okay, how do I involve this running game, and how can I survive with this running game, and how can I provide Zach Wilson with high percentage situations, in terms of, okay, you don't have to go through progression. We don't have to make it difficult for you out there. Don't worry about that defense. Don't worry about this or that. Just focus on throwing the ball here. Focus on throwing the ball there. We got elite players on the outside that we can get the ball to at times. But it's about controlling the game offensively and playing complementary football with that defense. And that's why the spread kind of worries me in terms of laying it with Philly. Teaser situation, definitely attracted to that. Taking the points with the Jets, that's mute to me because it's just Zach Wilson. He's just that bad. But I would rely on the fact that Hackett could control the game a little bit offensively, though.
Yeah, I took the seven this morning. Okay. When it sounded like Slay and Carter weren't going to play, I was like, that's a lot of points, but probably their two best defenders, I would make an argument, between for the Philadelphia Eagles, Darius Slay, their best corner, and then Jalen Carter, who, if you haven't been watching some of the clips that have been showing on social media, this guy is unbelievable as a defensive tackle, and both those guys, sounds like they will miss this game. Philadelphia going on the road in a situation for the Jets where, not do or die, but it's like you kind of need to start winning if you want to get hopes of making the playoffs. So I think it'll be a close competitive game. Philly probably wins the game, but seven was too valuable of a number for me to pass up on this one, so I went ahead and grabbed that.
Timmy, I want to talk about the Saints and Texans.
Ooh, okay.
Because the Saints, to me, are a hard team to gauge. Although if you've, 12 in a row to the under? I mean, it's just, they scored in the 30s, that game still stayed under because New England didn't score. I mean, Houston didn't embarrass themselves going to Atlanta in a one-score game. They gave up a field goal to win it at the end. And that number closed 2.5.
Yeah.
So if you got them at the end, you had a winner. What do you make of this game, Pritch? Because I would again lean under in this game. But where are you with the Saints? I mean, if you look at it, you draw a line through Carolina. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay's feisty. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's offensively challenged. I mean, and the Saints are too, but they're sort of the default NFC South favorite.
Right.
I mean, do they deserve to be a road favorite here in this spot against Houston?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you're factoring in rookie coach and, you know, D'Amico and all that. But he's done a hell of a job. And the thing about the National Football League or young rosters, those rosters tend to improve the most because those young players take leaps forward. Whereas, you know, you look at the Saints, a bunch of veterans, what do they need to improve on? Like, where does the efficiency come from? Where does the execution come from? Like, where the consistency of it come from? Like, offensively, is Derek Carr going to turn into something different at this point? No. Right? So I think the Houston Texans have a great chance of actually winning this game, and I'm going to include them on a parlay card of mine. So I like Houston in this spot.
My only concern would be Dennis Allen against a young quarterback. Just schematically, because it feels like he gives young quarterbacks trouble. I mean, I guess Bryce Young has had trouble with a lot of defenses based on what's going on in Carolina. But even looking at how Jordan Love played against New Orleans in the game at home, and the Packers able to squeak that one out with the hell of a fourth quarter. But Dennis Allen, like his scheme and that defense, I will, like, as much as I kind of crap all over Dennis Allen as a coach, as a head coach, but as a defensive mind, I think he's still one of the more brilliant defensive minds that we have in football. That would be my own. Like, to me, it's a non-play, but I hope your Texans win because I like this Texan story. I like CJ Stroud a lot, but I think it's a pass for me just because of the dynamic of Dennis Allen against another young quarterback, which I feel like he's taken advantage of in the past. So
Stroud's still yet to turn the ball over. I mean, he hasn't thrown an interception. It's amazing, isn't it?
That is insane.
It
really is.
Right.
Rookie quarterback, five games, no turnover.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see it.
So what you hear from Carolina is that Bryce doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. Well, who does CJ have to throw the ball to?
Is this Nico Collins slander?
I know, right? No. I'm just saying you can make excuses for anybody, right?
No, you definitely can.
And that's what's happening with Carolina. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought the quarterback was supposed to make everybody else better.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a backup O-line for much of the season for the Texans, and they've made it work around that. So Bobby Slovic, D'Amico Ryans, that whole crew out there in Houston, off to a pretty good start. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. For Mike Pritchard, Mike Palm, for our producer Elliot Bowman, I'm Femi Benfe. For the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. Sharp Money's coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.